It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Catholics around Wisconsin celebrated Sunday Mass honoring their new Pope, Leo XIV. According to the Wisconsin Catholic Conference, there are 1.1 million Catholics in five dioceses in the state. We turn now to the Diocese of Madison. Bishop Donald J. Hying is here to reflect on the selection of Chicago-born Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost as the new Pope and what it means for the future of the Roman Catholic Church in Wisconsin. Bishop Hying, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me on air.
What was it like at Sunday Mass? How are you celebrating the new Pope?
Yeah, so yesterday I celebrated Mass at our cathedral, St. Bernard's, and reflected on the wonder of having a new Pope, number one. Number two, the astonishing fact that he's an American from Chicago, a native White Sox fan, and also the choice of his name. So when a Pope chooses his papal name, he's always sending a message. So it's certainly a throwback to Pope Leo XIII, who was Pope of the Catholic Church in the latter part of the 19th century and was the first Pope to, in modern times, reflect on what is the gospel, what does the church have to say to social problems. So he was looking at the rapid rise of industrialization and workers being crammed into factories with unjust working conditions and unjust wages, and really saying the church has something to say about human dignity and freedom. So Pope Leo XIV has commented that he certainly wants to see the church engage in the world and really bring to the public square our pursuit of a common good and lifting up the dignity of the human person. And of course, for us as Catholics, proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified and risen as the source of our salvation.
We hear words like labels like moderate and centrist to describe the new Pope. What does it mean to be a moderate in the church, and how do you think that he might compare to the late Pope Francis?
Yeah, it's hard to, I know we often think in political terms, and the church, the gospel has political implications, but it's essentially not, the church is not essentially political. I would say, as with every pope, they're grounded in Christ, in the gospel, in the pursuit of helping people to live out the faith. So I see Pope Leo XIV really already articulating his sense of continuity with Pope Francis in terms of putting Christ front and center, calling all Catholics to be evangelizing witnesses of their faith in the world. Certainly a priority for the poor and the marginalized, certainly open to the world, wanting to engage the world in the proposal that the gospel gives us. So I see a lot of continuity, but as with every individual in a leadership position, he'll put his own stamp on his leadership style and his vision and his priorities. And that remains to be seen. He's only been Pope for less than 4 days.
That is true. You mentioned being a White Sox fan. We've wondered about whether he likes custard. Of course, the Midwestern ties. But this is also a Pope who speaks five languages and is a naturalized citizen of Peru. What message does his background send to the world and to us here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I would say he really has a universal perspective because of his mission background. He was prior general of his religious order, the Augustinians, which means he traveled the world. So he's seen the world and the church in very different cultures, conditions, languages. So it really gives him a broad perspective as leader of the 1.4 billion member Catholic Church as he looks at the whole world. And I think that gives him a very pastoral perspective as well. The fact that he's from the United States is really, in a way, a nod to the vitality of U.S. Catholicism and just the contributions that the U.S. Church brings to the global church and to the world.
You know, clergy sexual abuse cases have long plagued the Catholic Church, and survivors are also speaking out in the moment, worried the new Pope will not take a tough stance. What are you hoping he might do to steer the church in the right direction?
I think when you look at the Dallas Charter here in the United States back in 2002, Catholic Church instituted protocols and training and very institutionalized vigilance. So the number of cases in the last 20 years are very small. I mean, one is too many. But it shows that what we've done here in the States regarding child protection and vigilance has essentially worked. So I know Pope Leo XIV will be vigilant on this very disturbing matter. And just remind the Universal Church, we still need to be persistent and vigilant in rooting out any clergy sexual abuse and creating an environment where that becomes impossible to happen. I mean, it's very difficult to happen, right? That we create a culture that's safe and nurturing for our children.
Bishop Hying, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. God bless.
That is Bishop Donald Hying of the Diocese of Madison as we talk with him about the new Pope, Leo XIV. Now we turn to Sister Julia Walsh of the La Crosse-based Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. She's part of her congregation's formation team, serving women who are thinking of joining the convent. And she hosts the podcast. It's called Messy Jesus Business. Sister Julia, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Kate.
Yeah, when we called you to come on the show, we interrupted your prayers. And I'm wondering, I know this is deeply personal, but what are you praying for with the new Pope?
Oh, my. I am so thankful. I'm praying prayers of gratitude and awe. When I received the news that Pope Leo XIV was elected, that we have a U.S.-born American pope, I was surprised, I was amazed, I was excited. I don't think any of us expected it at all. I also felt sort of, I was laughing. I found it sort of funny because I felt such a kinship with him. Quickly, I heard the biographer say that he's a graduate of Catholic Theological Union in Chicago, and I'm also a graduate of that theology school.
Wow.
So I think it's, I mean, I never would have imagined that I could say to anyone that I graduated from the same theology school as the Pope.
How are your Franciscan sisters reacting to the news?
Oh, I believe we're all just so happy and thrilled and a bit on edge, right? To see what he's going to do. We have great hope and joy that he's going to continue to help the legacy of Pope Francis unfold, and he's going to continue to emphasize the need for peace and justice, for care for creation, for the concerns of the earth, to try to stop climate change, to try to stop wars, to protect the most poor and marginalized and oppressed in society. I know he has a heart for the poor. And it's, you know, I've been reflecting these past few days about how it's really the poor people of Peru who made him into a bishop and into a cardinal. He went there as a missionary priest with the Augustinian order, and his relationship with the poor is what helped him to grow into an administrator, into a leader, into someone who can shepherd the 1.4 billion Catholics around the world. And this is so exciting for me.
Sister Julia, the new Pope will face more questions about women's role in the church, and he has voiced opposition in the past to the idea of ordaining female deacons. What are you hoping this Pope will do to potentially advance women's involvement?
Of course, I hope that he'll remain focused on synodality in his leadership. He was a participant in the Synod on Synodality, which means a special meeting that Pope Francis held to listen to the people of God throughout the world and hear their concerns, including on women's leadership in the church. Now, I love the complicated and beloved and broken Catholic Church. And the church, she moves forward slowly. She is always moving forward. Some people are concerned that the Catholic Church moves backwards or is seeming that way, but she always moves forward. The Catholic tradition is a living tradition. It's just that she doesn't move as fast as what we want. So I trust in God's providence and God's timing. I trust that things will move at the pace that the Holy Spirit wants for us.
How might this new leadership at the Vatican impact the work the Franciscan sisters do in La Crosse, if at all?
Oh, I imagine we'll follow him and the tone he sets for the church, much like we did with Pope Francis. In fact, one of Pope Francis's greatest encyclicals, a letter to the whole church, was called Laudato Si, Praise Be, which was about the sacredness of all creation and the call to protect the earth and the poor and the vulnerable, to stop pollution and to stop climate change. And that has totally directed our mission as Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. And so I am eager to see what Pope Leo XIV's first encyclical we will be centered on and how that could inform and direct and guide us as we establish our mission for the coming years. It's not lost on me that he is emphasized peace building and bridge building right away. And as the bishop said, he chose the name Pope Leo XIV as a nod back to Leo XIII, who was really the father of Catholic social teaching in his encyclical Rerum Novarum, which is about the rights of workers and the rights to unionize. So I suspect we will be guided by those principles of Catholic social teaching during this papacy as well.
Sister Julia, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure and a joy. Habemus Papam, isn't it exciting?
Sister Julia Walsh is from the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration in La Crosse. She hosts the podcast called Messy Jesus Business. And earlier, we heard from Bishop Donald Hying of the Diocese of Madison. In coming days, celebration masses for Pope Leo XIV will be held at churches across the country and around the world. In Milwaukee, Archbishop Jeffrey Grob will celebrate a mass for Leo tomorrow evening at 6 at the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist.